Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu Wassalamu Ala Sayyidil Musaleen Amma Abad A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem Bismillahir Rahman Rahim Wassalatu Wassalamu Alayki Ya Rasulullah Wa Ala Alayki Wa Sahabiki Ya Habiballah Wassalatu Wassalamu Alayki Ya Nabiyallah Wa Ala Alayki Wa Sahabiki Ya Nurallah My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhi Channel, whenever you are blessed with an opportunity to come to the house of Allah, i.e. the masjid, the first thing that you must realize is that you're very, very lucky. Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen you and given you His permission to come to His house. For every one Muslim that is in the house of Allah right now, there are thousands and thousands of Muslims that have not been given this opportunity, this blessed opportunity to come to the house. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would always enter with his right foot and then he would make the dua for entering the masjid. The pious predecessors have said that we should also try and make intention for nafli itikaf when we enter the masjid, and we just did that by saying nawaitu sunnatul itikaf. You can make this intention in any language, English, Punjabi, Patwari, Gujarati, whatever you wish. May I remind you to eat, to drink and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowed. There are also many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah will grant him 10 mercies. For the Islam brothers and viewers of the channel, the events that took place on the plains of Karbala are without doubt saddening and very, very tragic. But if you think about it, many, many tragedies have occurred throughout history. Many people have faced oppression, but these are no longer remembered. There is a reason why we remember the events that took place on the plains of Karbala 1382 years ago. The scholars are here sitting with us. Any story that you hear about something that happened in the past, in the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after him, with the companions, his grandchildren, or anything you hear about our pious predecessors, do not think that that has just been passed down to us because it's a good story. Any event that's been passed down to us about any of our pious predecessors, there's a reason that that story has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And the reason is there's a message there for us. There's a lesson for us. There's something that if we listen to it, think about it, we can make a change in our life. Every single story, waqia, event that took place in the history of Islam has been recorded for our betterment. But unfortunately nowadays we just think it was a story. Oh, that's a good story. Sounded good. Very good. Let's go on. Let's do something else now. We need to learn from these. So whenever you come to the weekly Ijtima and you hear about an event that took place in the past, or you read a book and read about an event that took place in the past, or someone has said something in the past, then bear in mind that this is there for us to learn something from it. Amir al-Sunnat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us, he wrote a booklet called The Bloodshed of Karbala. And this booklet he actually wrote in response to someone who was a brother, wrote a letter to him, and he was facing difficulties, he was facing all sorts of problems in the fact that he was trying to invite people to the path of righteousness. When you call people to the path of righteousness, it's not always easy. You know, sometimes you're lucky and you invite someone to the masjid, the ijtima, and they straight away listen to you. Other people buff you off, or they might even push you aside or even abuse you or say things to you. And he was just finding it so hard. He said, look, I'm struggling. And he wrote to Amir al-Sunnat for some advice. And he said, Ya Sayyidi, whenever I try to invite people, they push me away. They feel as if I'm frustrating them. I'm giving them problems. What do I do? Amir al-Sunnat said to him, look at what happened in the plains of Karbala. Look about the cruelty that he had to face. Look about the difficulties that he has to face. Are your difficulties greater than that? No, they're not. It is stated that an Islamic brother, he was studying a degree in English, a BA in English. And he said, one day we were reading a novel in the class, and the teacher gave a lecture about the book. And this author of this novel, he said, was a European intellectual who fought in World War II. And after the war, Europe revolutionized and became advanced due to the insight of many thinkers, and the author of this book was amongst them. The author listed the principles of success and the causes of failure in his book. The author states that if we are to become successful in life, patience and forbearance is necessary. We must be able to endure, and we cannot rely on others for our success. We must believe in ourselves, but avoid overconfidence. Now, the Islamic brother, he said that, as the teacher explained the lessons of the story, I thought about the events of Karbala. And when the lecture ended, I spontaneously said that the events of Karbala teach us all of this. Imam Hussein, he displayed patience, forbearance, endurance, self-belief, and other important traits. The things may not have been written by him, but he showed them. And the teacher was surprised at first, but then he agreed. And he said, yes, this is true. With regards to Imam Hussein, we know how close he was to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was loved by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Is Hussein is from me, and I am from Hussein." Allah loves those who love Hussein. You know, it's very important for us, my dear Islam brothers and viewers and my child, to love the Ahlul Bayt. So if you want to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you some of the criteria here. Some of the criteria, we know that it's part of our iman to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but how? And we see from the lives of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they loved. And we see here that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself telling us that if you want to love me, love these grandsons. If you don't love them, you don't love me. If you're an enemy of them, you're an enemy of me. Clear instruction. It is stated that an intellectual, he reached a conclusion. He said that there are three principles of success. That if you want to be successful in this world, you need to have these three things inside you. Number one, the ability to bear hunger. Number two, patience, being able to wait for something. And number three, the ability to think and to understand. The intellectual, he said, it is important to tolerate hunger in order to be successful. And on the plains of Karbala, it was a hot day in the desert. And Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and his companions, and even his son, his baby son. For you that are not aware, he had a baby son, Ali Asghar. And he was such a small child, he was a babe in the hands, he was, you know, thirsty, has so much thirst inside him, and he tried, he raised his hands, Imam Hussein raised the baby, hoping that the treacherous enemies would show some compassion to the baby. But instead of showing compassion to this thirsty, dying baby, they shot an arrow. They shot an arrow into the neck of the child. This is the patience and the pain that he had to undergo. Remember, we are talking about Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, that same person who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to see them face any pain whatsoever. He didn't want to see them face any pain whatsoever. Coming on to the next point, that we need to be patient in our life. Whoever desires to be successful in this dunya must be patient whilst dealing with tasks. And nowadays we don't have patience. Nowadays we don't have patience, especially the youngsters nowadays. We want to become millionaires overnight. Yeah, we don't want to work hard. We want to have easy money. We want to go and make the easy money. And I know what you're all thinking about now. You know what I'm talking about. That people want this easy money. They don't want to have to struggle. They don't want to have to strive. Life isn't easy. And if it is in your destiny, listen, my dear Islam brothers, if it is in your destiny to become a millionaire, you will become a millionaire. If it is in your destiny not to become a millionaire, not to make money, you will never make money. Now the question is, whether you become a millionaire through halal means or haram means. And if it is in your destiny never to make your money again, it's your decision, whether you make it through halal means or haram means. And unfortunately nowadays, we haven't got patience. We want it now. Why has he got a three-bedroom detached? I'm in a flat, I'm living above a shop. I want this, I want that. Why has he got a new car? I've not even got a car. And we want these things today. And we look at people and think, well, they've got it. Now maybe we should have a good opinion of people and think that whatever somebody has, they've made it through halal means. But what happens is we don't have this patience. And that is something that we need to learn. The third principle for success is to have the ability to think and understand. Regardless of how desperate or hopeless you are, you must think about your options and choose what is best. The question really is, why did Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu make the sacrifice? He wasn't involved in matters of rulership. He will be granted. He was given the news that he will be the leader of the youth of paradise. If he's going to be the leader of the youth of paradise, what is he bothered about power? He wasn't bothered about power yet. Such a person who was given leadership in paradise, he wasn't bothered about the situation in this world. He wasn't bothered about the status in this world. Imam Hussein refused because of the character of Yazid. How he represented Islam. How he abandoned the Quran, abandoned the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Hussein was displeased with the character and actions of Yazid. It's because of his character, because of his actions, that Imam Hussein was displeased with him. We didn't take the oath of allegiance to him. Now, I want to ponder here for 1 second. We all know that Allah Azza wa Jalla states that the martyrs, they are alive. Imam Hussein was displeased with Yazid because of the fact that he had left the Quran, because of the fact that he'd abandoned the Sunnah, because of the fact that he'd abandoned Salah, because of the fact that he'd abandoned fasting. What about us? Where do we now stand? And I thought to myself that if Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu could see us now, and he thought to himself that these people, I sacrificed my family for these people that can't even get up at Fajr. I sacrificed my family for these people that don't open the Quran in a whole year. I sacrificed my family. I sacrificed my baby. I sacrificed my life for these people who a month of Ramadan comes and a month of Ramadan goes and it doesn't make any difference to them. Where do we stand? Where do we stand in all of this? Where is our status in this? Imam Hussein, he didn't accept the oath of allegiance because of this. Not because he wanted power, not because he wanted status, not because he wanted anything, not because he's, no, I want the power. Astaghfirullah, that was not the case. It's because this person, Yazid, abandoned all of these things. So whilst we're in the month of Muharram, and we're here, and we go to these programs, and we listen to these gatherings, and people raise the slogan, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. And you make it, and you ask them, who do you follow? Do you follow Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, or would you follow Yazid? Nobody will say, I follow Yazid. Nobody will say it. But following someone is not just here. Following someone is not just here. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he never missed a salah. Yazid abandoned the salah. Who do we really follow? Imam Hussein, he lived his life according to the Quran. Yazid abandoned the Quran. Who do we follow? Imam Hussein, he adopted the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. Yazid abandoned the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. Who do we follow? Imam Hussein, he was into adultery, he was into alcohol. Sorry, Yazid was into all of these things. I don't know what I said then. Yazid was into alcohol, was into adultery. Imam Hussein stayed away from this because he realized it was a sin. Who do we follow? It is stated that Yazid had dancing women in his court. Now you say, well, no, I don't go to them places. I don't go to them places where there are dancing women. I don't go to any of them places. Okay. But you all have that remote in your hand. And when you're flicking through channels on your TV, where does it stop? When you're looking at videos on your phone and you're scrolling up and down, where does it stop? Ask yourself, then things that I'm looking on my phone, then things that I'm looking on my TV, then things that I'm looking on my PC tablet, would Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu look at them things? Then I ask you, who are you following? Are you following Yazid or are you following Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu? To follow someone, to love someone, is not just lip service. And unfortunately, nowadays, even when it comes to anything, it's just lip service in our lives. We say we love, we say we follow, but we don't. And I've given this example many times. I don't know if I've given it here. If a child, any of the children is here today, you know, he would say, I love my mother, I love my mother, I love my mother. And he puts a flag on the back of his car, and on that flag he says, I love my mother. And he writes poetry in praise of his mother. And one day his mother said, Beta, can you go to the shop to get me some bread and milk? And the son said, no, I haven't got time for that. And the mother says, Beta, don't go there. And the son said, why? It's my life, my rules, let me do what I want. Who are you to tell me what I'm doing? Would you say that person loves his mother? No, you wouldn't. What is the difference between that person and us when it comes to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We say we love. We raise slogans, we raise flags, we recite poetry. We listen to poetry, we listen to the naz, we praise them, we go on the julus, we go all of them things. Is that love? Love is not going on a julus once a year. Love is not staying up all night in a mahfil naz. That, yeah, it's showing your love, but that's not true love. Love is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, all of your life. And so when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us to do something, it is our job to follow. It is our job to follow and our job to obey. The true lovers, when they find out this is what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. They didn't ask questions. They didn't ask questions. There were many instances in the lives of the pious predecessors that when people were asked, why are you doing this? There's no benefit in doing this. There's no logic in doing this. And they said, I don't know about logic. I don't know about memory. All I know is my Prophet did it, I'm doing it. That is love. So what my question to all of us is, why are we afraid of following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why are we afraid of not making the Quran part of our lives? Why are we afraid of not following the Deen of Islam? Because if you abandon all of these things that I just mentioned, then you're following Yazid. Ask yourself that question today. If you go away from today with just one question in your mind, who am I following? If you go with another question today, that the things that I do on a day-to-day basis, the places I go, the things that I read, the things that I look at, the things that I listen to, whatever they are, the language that I speak, the attitude that I have, is this the way of Yazid or is this the way of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu? So you've come here, marhaba, you've all come here. But if you've just come here to listen to a story, if you just come here to listen to a story and shed a few tears and don't go away and make a change, then you've not achieved anything today. Come here with an intention to make a change. Whenever you come to a gathering of Dawslam, your intention should be that I'm coming here to rectify myself. Whenever I stand up, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, when I came into the environment of Dawat Islami, literally within 2 weeks of coming into the environment of Dawat, I was in Pakistan at the time, and we were going to the Friday prayers, and the brother that brought me into the environment of Dawat Islami said, do you know that today the speaker at Jummah is from out of town? I said, SubhanAllah. Who is it? He said, you. So what are you saying? I've never given a speech in my life. Yeah? No, no, you're giving the speech today. I said, what do I know? I don't know anything. He said, I said, what am I going to talk about? He said, you're going to talk about basically the importance of Salah. And I said, come on. Yeah. And he gave me a beautiful piece of advice that I never forgot this. This is like 25, 26 years ago. He said to me that whenever you are speaking to someone, whenever you are giving a dars to someone, whenever you are teaching someone, you're not teaching them people. You're teaching yourself. You're teaching yourself. So whenever you go to a gathering that you benefit from it yourself. If you teach something, if you read someone, don't think, oh no, no, this doesn't affect me. Yeah, I'm not into backbiting, I'm not into lying, I'm not into swearing, I'm not into all of these things. Look at yourself. We need to look at ourselves. And unless we look at ourselves and honest with ourselves, we can't make a change. You know when you go to the doctors and they do a blood check on you? They'll take your blood, and when they take the blood, afterwards, you get the results. And as the results go, he's got high cholesterol, he's got sugar problems. And you make a change in your life. Depending on them results, you make a change in your life. You're not just going to rip it on, well, the doctor, no, forget that. No, you take it seriously. You take them results seriously. If it's cholesterol high or sugar problems or whatever it is, you take them results seriously. In the same way, we need to do a spiritual check on ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Because not only are you the doctor, you are the laboratory, you are the result maker as well. You need to be honest with yourselves. What spiritual diseases have I got inside me? Am I prone to backbiting? Am I prone to lying? Am I prone to swearing? Am I prone to committing all these things? And if I am, look at yourself and decide to make a change. You have to be honest with yourself. And unless we are honest with ourselves, we'll never make a change in our life. And this is what Dawat Islami is about. Dawat Islami is here to make that change. From the day I came into this environment, and inshallah, to the day I die, I'm trying to adopt the first part of the statement, that I must strive to rectify myself. Nobody's perfect. But if we don't learn from our past, if we don't learn from our rich heritage, if we don't learn from our pious predecessors, if we do not learn from the lives of Imam Hussein and the sacrifices that he made, then where would we be today? It's because of them sacrifices. You could say that it's because of them sacrifices that this masjid is here today. It's because of them sacrifices that we are Muslims today. It's because of them sacrifices that we're reading our salah today. And yet we just abandon it. My dear Shambhalas, please, I'm going to finish the bi'ah now. I want you to reflect on this. That who do we follow? Who do we follow? And if you are living your life to your best of your ability, nobody's perfect, to your best of your ability, that you're adopting the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life, you're reading the Quran as often as possible, you're adopting the Sunnah in your life, then you can make the claim that I love the Ahlul Bayt. Then you can make the claim that I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But until then, question yourself, reflect upon yourself, and make that change in your life. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the ability to learn from the events of Karbala, learn to make a change in our life, and make a better future, inshallah. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Say, O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending.